Right, hello and welcome to episode 11 of the RepuChat podcast. It's all a little bit different today as I couldn't secure a guest for today's episode, so there's no guest. However, I wasn't going to do an episode this week because I couldn't get a guest. I was talking to Paul Burrows of Paul's Monitors and the Captive Raptor podcast. He was on episode 3 and he said to me that it is better to upload something than skip a week, because I might have one listener out there that is really, really excited for the podcast, and it's not fair on them. So we're going to go straight in, and today I'm going to do a bit of a Q&A, a bit of a ramble about myself. So that's pretty exciting, really, I guess. So if you are there live and you've got any burning questions, feel free to drop them in the comments. I'm going to start off with a bit of a ramble about my current breeding and what's going on here, and then I will do the Q&A towards the second part of the podcast. So without any further ado, let's get into it, I guess. So I'm not really going to give too much away to start with, because most of the things I would normally cover in a podcast with a guest come up in the questions that I have received through Instagram. A couple of days ago, I put on my Instagram story asking for questions, and I've got loads. So I will get through as many of them as I can. But yeah, I've got a bit of a script because I'm not particularly confident in myself at the moment. So if you are watching live and you see me peering down or reading, that's what I'm doing. However, if you're listening on an audio platform, pretend I never said that, because you wouldn't know, probably. Obviously, the first thing, the burning question that everyone wants to know is, what is my favourite biscuit? And let's face it, the chocolate hobnob has got to be the winner. There are no better biscuits, in my opinion. They're like the Marines of the biscuit world. So anyway, let's move on now. We've got the main thing out of the way, and talk about what's going on here. So if you don't know, I keep a variety of reptiles, mainly royal ball pythons or ball pythons or royal pythons, whatever you want to call them. I've got 17 royals, at various sizes, ranging from hatchlings and holdbacks to adults. I've also got 3 crested geckos. Well, actually, we've got 4 crested geckos now. One of them is a hatchling, which I'll cover in a minute. We've got 3 leopard geckos, 2 horse-tailed tortoises, a Yemen chameleon, and 3 dogs. So royals. What's going on with the royals? I've stopped pairing all the boys and girls now. So if they're going to go, they're going to go. If they're not going to go, it's not the end of the world. They will be around for the next time I decide I want to breed them. I didn't do as many pairings this year as I had originally planned, because the market seems to have dropped a lot, and I didn't want to end up with loads of babies that I couldn't afford to feed. So I decided to really slim down what I was pairing, and I've just paired stuff to hopefully produce some holdbacks I've been waiting for a little while. So what have we got going on with the royal? So I've got 15 days left on clutch number 1. They are in the incubator. And that pairing was a butterfire het pied to an entryless pinstripe. I paired that. The girl I bought as a 100-gram hatchling 3 years ago, she was my second royal when I got back into keeping reptiles. I bought her as a hatchling, and she's been growing up and growing up and growing up. And this year, she was well ready to lay some eggs, and she gave me a lovely clutch of 5 eggs. I can see people asking questions in the comments as well. I will answer all the questions. I'm going to do that once I've finished rambling on. So don't disappear. I will answer your questions. So yeah, she laid 5 eggs. And I'm really hoping for a blue-eyed Lucy or two from the clutch this year. The blue-eyed Lucy, between the blue-eyed Lucy and the Pied, they are both like my flagship morphs, I guess. Like, they're the ones that got me really interested in breeding reptiles and breeding snakes in general, specifically because when I started keeping way back in like 2008, 2009, they were like the holy grail snakes for me. I remember going into my local-ish shop, which was they're still there now, which is Emsworth Reptiles and Aquatics, and they had Pieds and blue-eyed Lucys, and they were like £1,000 each, and I was like, I am never ever going to be able to afford those. Now I can afford them, but I don't want to just go out and buy them. I want to produce them myself. I think because I had that dream a long time ago, they are like, I'm more excited about hitting blue-eyed Lucys and standard Pieds than I am hitting like big money combos. I'm not fussed about the money. They're the ones I want. So yeah, that's 15 days left on that. I can't wait to hopefully they'll pip or what they'll cut. I don't know. But yeah, so that's clutch number one. Clutch number two in the incubator as well. It's got about a month left on it. That one is a pastel entry orange dream to a pastel calico. Those that know me through Instagram for the snakes, they'll know I'm a big, big calico fan. I wanted a really nice calico example for a long time. So the pastel calico girl I've got, she is honestly one of the nicest pastel calicos, or one of the nicest calico examples I've ever seen. I don't like to blow my own trumpet, but she really is. I spent probably a good 15 months searching for the right calico that I wanted to add to the collection, and yeah, she is definitely it. So pairing her with my pastel entry OD, I'm really hoping, I'm not fussed about the super pastel, but I'd really, really like to get some entry in the pastel calico. If I hit a super pastel entry calico, I'll be laughing. But yeah, I'm hoping to hold back a few calico combos that I can move into future projects. I'd like to try and get Pied and maybe even albino in the future as well. I am just reading the comments as we go. So yeah, and I've got 3 more pairings that I've done. All 3 of them are showing good signs. They're bowl wrap, they've been bowl wrapping, they're heat seeking now, they've all gone off food. I've got one that is due, she was due like 12 days ago, so she's well overdue now. But she has reabsorbed for the last 3 years in a trot. Hopefully this year, I'm sure I've seen an ovulation. Like, she's done everything perfect this year, but she is really holding on to those eggs. So I'm really hoping that she drops some eggs. So the pairings that I'm waiting on are, the first one is a Butterfire Het Pied to a Het Pied. And then the other two, the boy was a Pied 100% Het Albino. And he was paired to a Mojave Het Pied and a Cinnamon Dinker Het Pied. And the Dinker, we're thinking, is a Gene X. I've been working closely with K&C Royals. And they have just hatched their first clutch, breeding the hatchlings back from last year or the year before, I can't remember, to try and prove out whatever this gene is that's in these snakes. And they have produced some amazing looking Pieds. Unfortunately, they didn't have great luck. A few of them passed away, but the ones that are alive and not thriving look ridiculous. So if you want to go and see those, go and check them out on their Instagram, which is at KNC Royals. But yeah, hopefully they will go. I'm really hoping for some. If you've been following me for a while on Instagram, you know, like, Pieds and Pied combos are my target at the moment. There's just something about Pieds. I've got a couple of them in my collection now, but I absolutely love them, to be honest. Like, I think just putting Pied in anything is really, really cool. And it's what Pied is, again, it's one of those morphs that if they're not snake people, or even if they are snake people, you show them a Pied or a Pied combo and it always takes your breath away. It, like, people, you can't believe they're real. It's yeah, fingers crossed for some Pieds, but who knows, we'll wait and see what happens. I'm not pushing, I'm not pairing anymore, so if they go, they go. If they don't, they don't. But it's not the end of the world. What else is going on? Crested geckos. I can't remember if last time I spoke on here, I updated you about the crested gecko or not. So if you're following me on Instagram again, you'll know that a few months ago, I was cleaning out the cresties. I was changing the substrate and adding some bioactive stuff. And I found two eggs. I decided to take the eggs out and I put them in a rack that I keep the royals in. It's an empty rack and it's off, but it was sitting around 24 degrees-ish. So I decided to incubate them instead of leaving them in the enclosure because I didn't know how long they'd been in there. And like I said, I was changing the substrate. One of the eggs, unfortunately, went bad. I cut the egg just because I wanted to see what was going on in there. This is probably about day 75, and there was a fully formed cresty in there, but unfortunately it had passed away. However, the next day, the other egg had pipped, and we checked on it, and the cresty had already actually come out, and it was hiding under the label of the tub. So when I opened the tub and I could see the egg was empty, I didn't realise that the cresty was on the other in my other hand on the lid. But that was a really nice surprise. So we have got a baby cresty. I think he's about 4 weeks old now. I don't know what sex it is, but we're calling him a he for now, and he has got a name. He is called Yoda, but he's doing really, really, really well, actually. And just comments will throw me off. Yeah, he's doing really well. I don't know if we're going to keep him, if I'm going to sell him, because I didn't plan on breeding them, but I would quite like to keep him because he's really cool. But then, yeah, I don't know. It's the first cresty, so he'll probably end up staying, or he or she. But at the moment, they're in a temporary faunarium thing. I need to get a permanent enclosure sorted out. But yeah, he's doing really well, actually. I haven't really handled him or anything. We're just leaving him to be a little baby cresty, feeding him, watering him, and leaving him to it. But yeah, I haven't found any other eggs yet. Don't know what's going on with the cresties, really, at the moment. They're hot and bothered, so I'm trying to keep them cool with the temperatures we've been having. But they're all right. They're not doing too badly at all. Leopard geckos. What's going on with the leopard geckos? So we've got three leopard geckos. I've got one massive leopard gecko called Winston. I think he's around 16, 17 years old. He's a big, fat leopard gecko. I got him as a rescue a few years ago. He's got no toes. He's not very sociable, but he's quite happy doing his own little thing. I feed him, I water him, he eats, he poops. And occasionally he's out and basking and I just leave him to it. I don't really feel the need to handle him. And he doesn't like it, so there's no real need to stress him out. The other two leopard geckos we've got upstairs, my daughter's leopard geckos, they're good. They're eating. They're doing all they should do. She wants to breed them this year. I have bred leopard geckos in the past, but it was a long, long time ago, and I can't really remember what I'm doing, when to do it, if I've missed it. And then they were just sold to us as pets, so I don't know if they're more. And I know it's a bit frowned upon in the leopard gecko world if you're breeding and you don't know what the genes are behind them. But she wants to breed them, and I think it would be quite a cool experience for her to have that project and for me to sort of sit back, supervise, but let her do it. So there's something I'm thinking about. It's in the back of my mind. But what I'd quite like to do is get a leopard gecko breeder on the podcast that I can pick their brains, really. I think that would be quite a good idea. And it'd give me an episode as well. So if anyone knows a leopard gecko breeder in the UK that would like to come on the Rip Chat podcast, please either DM me or get them to DM me. Because, yeah, that would be really cool. I'm just on my notes still as well. Chameleon behind me, he is fine. He's eating. He's grumpy as always. So we just leave him alone. We feed him. We water him. And we look at him from a distance because he doesn't like people. But he's really cool. And then the tortoises. We've had to separate the tortoises at the moment because Padme, the girl, decided that Chewy, the boy, was looking like a fantastic chew toy. So they are separated, but they both seem happy as Larry in their own little worlds, and they are eating me out of house and home at the moment. They just seem to, since the weather's got really hot, they just seem to be eating everything. But that's all right because their diet is 99% weeds that we have in the garden. So it helps me keep the garden clean and keeps them fed, which is really good. And then obviously the doggos. Got three doggos. Got Husky Cross, Border Collie. We've got an Anatolian Shepherd Cross, all sorts of random stuff. Don't know, he was rescued from Hungary. And then we've got a little tiny Jack Russell as well. And they are just loving life. They're enjoying the sunshine. They're enjoying the sunny evenings because they can go for a run in the field. They don't have to get walked on the lead in the rain. And yeah, that's pretty much the whole zoo covered. I don't think there's anything else going on. I don't plan on adding anything in the future apart from holdbacks for Royals at the moment, unless something really cool crops up. Yeah, so that's the update, I guess. So let's get on to the Q&A. So I've got lots of questions already lined up that I've taken from Instagram. However, I do see some comments in the YouTube live comments as well. So we'll start with those. Let me find what we got. I see some people are there as well. So we've got Lady Erinen Sarf and the Crow Goddess. So she's asked a few questions. So do I sell? I presume you're talking about Royals. Yes, I do sell Royals. You can find me on Morph Market if you want to see what is available. At the moment, there is nothing available, but there will be later in the year. So just search for at Ben's Balls on Morph Market, or go and follow me on Instagram because I'll pop them up on there. Next one is a more of a comment. It says, my Royal hasn't eaten for 2.5 months. I'll keep trying to feed her every 2 weeks. She's still chunky, but I would like to start eating again. It's that time of year, to be honest. If she's an adult, you will find that they go off food because they're thinking about reproducing more than eating. You'll probably find that she's been sat on the cooler end of the enclosure as well. I wouldn't worry. Like you say, keep offering her food every 2 weeks or so, and she will get back onto food at some point. I've got a boy that only eats for like 3 or 4 months of the year, every year, but he's a healthy weight. He never really loses any weight. So it's not something to worry about at the moment. Just keep an eye on them. If you notice that the weight starts dropping off, misting systems is going on. If the weight starts disappearing quite rapidly or the body condition looks awful, then you'll need to take some steps to get her back onto food. So if you need the help, give us a message. But 2.5 months really for a Royal isn't that long. I wouldn't be too concerned. Hello, everyone. Blah, 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 blah. No, she's on a warm end. I'm sure she will start eating when she's ready. I wouldn't be particularly worried. If you are more concerned, feel free to drop me a message on Instagram and I can go through it a bit more and I'll see if I can help out. But I wouldn't be too concerned at 2.5 months. Right, let's go and find... Oh, how do I do this? Bear with, I'm using lots more stuff on StreamYard than I normally do. So, I've loaded up loads of questions. I haven't put who the questions are from, but if you're listening or you're watching, you will know if it was a question that you asked. So, the first question, what got me into the hobby? Like a lot of the guests I have on, I guess, I have always been interested in reptiles and animals in general, not necessarily reptiles, but animals specifically. I remember being like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old, maybe old, I can't remember, but sitting in my pants on Saturday morning, watching Animal Planet, Steve Irwin wrestling crocodiles and all that sort of stuff. And then moving on to like Deadly 60. There's always been a passion and an interest in just animals in general. And I was quite lucky growing up. My friend, his mum was a shepherdess and they lived on a farm, but it was like a, I'm not really sure what you call it, like an educational farm where kids can come, meet the animals and stuff. And they always had open days. And there's a man whose name was Steve, and he used to come during the summer holidays and Easter holidays and things like that. And he would always bring a menagerie of reptiles and birds and mammals and all sorts. So meeting things like Goliath bird-eating spiders, African grey parrots. He's got skunks as well. That always sticks in my mind. And that was sort of where my real passion sort of where the flame was lit. I decided, about 11, 12 years old, I decided I wanted a reptile. So I did what any boy at that age does. I got on Stratton the computer. And I spent probably the next 3, 4, 5 weeks researching. This was way back. This would have been, 2000 and probably 2005 sort of time. So there wasn't much information around. But what I did find was a website called Exotic Pets, which I think is still going now, but I don't use it. I found on there and I saw a leopard gecko. And I spent the next 3, 4 weeks pestering my parents, please can I have a leopard gecko, please can I have a leopard gecko, it can go over here, I can work out where the Viv goes, it'll go here, I'll work for ages to earn the money to pay for it, like, here's a care sheet that I've written. It's 30 pages long. Like, I know what I'm doing. And eventually I did. I got a little leopard gecko called Gex. And I had, yeah, that was sort of where the floodgates opened. And then probably between the age of 12 and 16, I did what most people do when they first get into reptiles. And I got as many different reptiles as I could. So I went leopard gecko. First snake a few months after that was a western hognose, which I was unaware was a rear fang venomous snake at the time. I used to handle that snake all the time. He was always out. It was awesome. And then, yeah, went on to have all sorts. I had royals. I had corn snakes, king snakes. I had a Colombian rainbow boa. I didn't really have many lizards. We did have some bearded dragons for a while, but it was always more snakes. I don't know why that is, but it was the snakes that really interested me more. Now I really like everything, but I don't have the room for the lizards that I'd like to have. So, but yeah, I really like the snakes. And then when I got to sort of 15, 16, a friend of mine that I had met also was keeping royals. And we both stumbled upon Brian Barczyk's videos and snake bites. And we decided we wanted to breed. So breed the royals. So from the age of 16 to, I think, 19, 20, I can't remember exactly. Me and him together were breeding snakes. I had awful success in the first couple of years. First two attempts or the first 2 years, I had three clutches and I had no successful babies. All of them died or had to be euthanized afterwards because they came out the eggs kinked and it was a nightmare. But I eventually sorted it out, got the incubator sorted and had a good couple of clutches. And I remember my first hold back was a bumblebee and I was over the moon to keep that. Unfortunately, I then had to, one thing led to another. I had to sell up the whole collection. And then that was me sort of out of the reptile game for a long time. I can't remember when I started. I think I sold my snakes in 2009, 2010. It might have been a little bit later than that. And I didn't get my first royal again until COVID happened. So 2019. Like just before COVID, and I'm so glad that I've got back into it. I've always sort of been like keeping an eye on what's going on in the reptile hobby, but to actually get some snakes and start breeding again, and then my wife and our daughters, they all got really involved in it as well. Like it's mainly me, but like my wife's got the tortoises and my daughter's got the two leopard geckos, so it's nice that we've got something that we can all sort of share together. That's sort of what got me into the hobby, I guess. I was going to ramble on forever there, but I realised there's loads more questions to answer. That's what got me into the hobby. Next question. What is my day-to-day routine for caring for all the animals? There's a lot going on here. So I'll just do it briefly, I guess. So I wake up in the morning, get out of bed, jump in my new ice bath, get out of the ice bath, freezing, and then sort the animals out. So in the morning, I don't do a lot, really. I spray the hatchling crested gecko and I spray the chameleon because his automatic misting system is broken. I top up all the waters that need topping up and feed the tortoises. The royals in the mornings, I check for eggs, and if there are any poos, I clean the poos out straight away. Then that's pretty much it for the morning. In the evenings, I feed the leopard geckos, check the royals again for eggs and poops and stuff. I just do a visual inspection of everyone. Like you can walk around and you look at all the animals anyway, so if there's something that needs doing, it's very easy to do. All the water bowls get changed every other day. Well, the water in the water bowls get changed every other day. And then I do like a deep clean on a Saturday morning. So that's substrate changes if it needs it. All the water bowls get scrubbed properly. And it's like there's a lot going on, but it probably only takes, 10 minutes every day and then an hour on Saturday mornings. It'll be a bit more involved when the hatchlings hopefully appear. But even then, it's not a lot more. So I think that's one of the reasons that reptiles appeal to me, because they don't, like the maintenance on them is very low and they're not time consuming. and then I can just sit and watch and enjoy them. So I think the thing that it takes the longest is cleaning the Crested Gecko glass. Like, they make such a mess. It's ridiculous. There's always, like, footprints of food and poop and wee. And but it's just cleaning the glass and the Crested takes the longest. But, yeah, I enjoy all aspects. I know some people are like, I hate doing water bowls. I hate cleaning. I love all of it. I'd be quite happy stood scrubbing water bowls for days. But I love it. Next question. Biggest regret in the hobby so far? I don't really have any regrets. I think I see it all as I see a regret as something that I wish I didn't do. And there's nothing in my reptile keeping career, so to speak, that I wish I hadn't done. There's a lot of things that I've done that I've learned from, and I see that as a positive. There's been nothing drastic, like the husbandry and stuff's changed. Like when I first had my first leopard gecko, he had a red bulb, he had a heat mat, all that stuff, because that was what was advised at the time. But now we've evolved and they've got LEDs and deep heat projectors and all sorts of stuff. But again, that's not a regret. That's just moving with the times. There's nothing really. The only thing that I wish I had done earlier is my crested geckos. I used to feed them exclusively on jelly pots because that's what I was told to do. And it wasn't until probably about 6 months ago that I was told that actually the jelly pots are just like giving them sweets and they're full of sugar and you should give them something else. So now they get a nice balanced diet of bugs and they're on Rapashi at the moment as well. And they all seem to be doing a lot better. They're a lot more active. They're eating more. They're growing faster. So not a regret, but something recent that I suppose was more of a learning curve. But yeah, unless I've done something particularly stupid, like I can't even think of anything, like dropped a snake or something like that, which I haven't done yet. Touch God. Touch wood. I can't think of anything that I regret doing, but there are things that I have done husbandry wise specifically that I have learned from, but I don't regret them because if I hadn't done them, I wouldn't know any better, I guess. So yeah. Moving on to the next one. Money, no issue. What reptile would I have? I suppose it's money and space as opposed to just money. Like money on its own. If I had loads of money, but I wanted to add something else to the house, there isn't a lot that I would like to add. Maybe a big pond with some fish. That'd be cool. But if money and space weren't a problem, I would really like to have some monitor lizards. Like, I really like the idea of having like a big, like eight foot long, 4 foot deep, 6 foot tall viv with like a small colony of Akis in it. Like, I'd love the idea of having, like, I don't know, for example, off the top of my head, 5 Aki monitors all sort of living in harmony in a massive enclosure that I could sit and watch. I think that would be really, really cool. But again, that's not really they are expensive, but it's not really a money thing. It's I haven't got space for a viv that size. Paul, don't laugh at me saying touch God. I know they're tiny, but mate, it's a small house. I can't pack much more in. Akis, and if I was being unrealistic, or the inner child in me from when I was like 10, I'd like a Komodo dragon or a croc monitor or a crocodile or a dwarf caiman, something like that, something massive and imposing and like you can feed it whole chickens. Paul, will you stop trying to sort me out an Aki? It's not the money, it's the space. Unless you can build me a little extension. That's the answer. Money, no issue. More space, no issue. It'd be monitor lizards. Next question. Favourite species and why? And do I own this? If yes, please explain how you keep it. So my favourite species, I don't own it. I will never own it. So I don't know how to keep it. But my favourite species from the age of like 10 is a eyelash viper. They're bright green, they're tiny little pit vipers, and they've got gorgeous eyelashes. I don't know what their scientific name is, but I have been obsessed with them. Like, just looking at them visually, like, I want to get a tattoo with one on. There's just something about them. Like, their eyes just draw me in. They're really, really, really cool. I absolutely love them, but they are really venomous, and I won't keep venomous. Not at the moment. Maybe once the children have left and I can have a dedicated reptile room is something I might consider. But for the foreseeable future, it's never going to happen. But they are my favorite species by a mile. Like, they are just absolutely awesome. I don't know what it is. I couldn't even tell you specifically what makes me go, oh my God, that's the best thing in the world. But yeah, eyelash vipers, eyelash pit vipers, absolutely stunning. What's Paul saying in the comments? Paul was saying, 3 foot by, how do I do this? Gil and I, 3x2x3 for a pair. That is, to be fair, I could probably fit that size enclosure on top of my rack. But it's a lot of money, mate. All my snakes are in the kitchen, and I'm not sure if Vicky, well, she would not be happy if I had floor to ceiling. It's bad enough as it is at the moment. But to be fair, there is like 6 foot by 3 foot by 3 foot space underneath the tortoise table that I have thought about turning into a bib a few times. So we will see, maybe in the future, but it's not going to happen anytime soon. I'm not ditching the Royals, mate. I really like the Royals this day, unfortunately. Right, next question. Where do we get to? I've done that one. Where do I see myself in the hobby in 5 years' time? So that I'm going to take that as a comment about the snakes and the reptiles I have at the moment as opposed to the podcast. I don't know, really. If you asked me this a year ago, I'd have said I want to be breeding snakes full time. I don't want to be doing that now. Like, I really like breeding the snakes, and I'm going to continue breeding the snakes. But last year, if you asked me, I'd have said I want 100 snakes. I want to be producing 50 clutches a year. I want to be smashing loads of hatchlings out, keeping some cool stuff. But now I don't want to do that. I want to continue to breed. I'm quite happy with like 5 to 8 clutches a year. The clutches that I'm producing are for me. So everything that I'm pairing, there's an animal or more than one animal that I want to produce from that clutch that I want to hold back to further my collection. Any surplus animals will either go on more market for sale or they go to my local pet shop, which I have a good relationship with. And I generally like the normal royals and stuff. I know a lot of people are like, oh, I don't know what to do with a normal royal. I give them to my local pet shop. They're great for first time snakes. I don't get anything for them, but that way they're not sat in my rack. They're not being euthanized. I know they're going to end up with a good home because I know the people that run the shop, and it's a lovely shop. So in the next 5 years, I'd like to see myself still producing the 5 to 8 clutches a year, perhaps have a few more snakes. But again, I want to stay with the same size clutches. I would like to add some more different species to the collection. Like I said, monitors again. I'd really like to get into frogs as well. I really, really want like a full live planted, bioactive, self-sufficient dart frog enclosure. But it's all down to space more than anything else. Like, we're in a very small 2-bed end of terrace house. There's not a lot of room. I've already got reptiles in every single room apart from the toilet. So it's more finding the space than anything else. But it could happen in the future. I'm not really sure. So yeah, we'll see. What's Paul asking? Paul's monitor says, am I going to ARC in a few weeks? So the ARC is the ARC show, which is the amphibian and reptile convention. It's hosted by MJ's Pythons, and yes, I am going. I need to pay MJ. Actually, I was sort of talking to him this morning about my ticket because I forgot to give him the money for it, so I need to do that after this. But yes, I will be at the ARC show. I'm not planning on buying anything at all. I am going in the hope that I will be able to secure some new podcast guests. Paul's going as well, so that'll be nice to see you. It'll be cool to see you down there, Paul. I think I am going with Ben and Noah from Rocky Ridge Reptiles. So yeah, you'll probably see me. I'll probably be wearing a Tough Mudder t-shirt or some description. So if you do see me at the ARC show, please come and say hello. Especially if you want to be on the podcast, because I need the guests. I scheduled the next 10 episodes on YouTube this morning. And it takes me all the way through to November, so I've got to have someone to chat to. Next question. Why did I start the podcast? That is a very good question. I don't know, to be honest. In the last 18 months, I've been listening to loads of podcasts at work. I was never really a podcast person. I was more of a watch a YouTube video when I'm at home, and then when I'm working, listen to music. But I got a bit sick of listening to the same 14 songs that I've been listening to since I was 16. So I started listening to podcasts. I listened to the Trap Talk podcast. I was listening to the Wolfie Royals podcast and a few others. And then I was a guest on the new breeder segment of the Wolfie Royals podcast, and I really enjoyed it. And after a while, I was listening to the same episodes of the same podcast, and I found that every single podcast I was listening to, it was the same conversation with the same royal breeders. Don't get me wrong, I'm not shitting on any royal breeders. I'm a royal breeder. I really enjoy breeding royals. But I found that everyone was having the same conversation. And because I'm not focused on keeping up with what Justin Kobelka's doing, I'm quite happy breeding what I want to breed, chatting to my little group of friends. I wanted something that I could listen to, or something that I could record myself, for people that hopefully are in the same situation as me, that enjoy all aspects of reptile keeping and animal keeping in general, and something that's sort of tailored to everyone. So instead of me going, right, I'm going to go and listen to that podcast, which is a royal podcast, I'm going to go to that podcast, which is a monitor's podcast, except I can't listen to Paul's podcast because he won't put it on Spotify. That sort of thing. I wanted a podcast where each week you don't know what you're going to get. So you know that it's going to be exotic animal related, but it's not always going to be what royals are you breeding, what are you breeding for 5 years, what's your plan, pied, clown, blah, 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 blah. I want to listen to, or I want to have a conversation with people where I'm asking you keep macaws. I like parrots, but I know nothing. Please educate me. Or, I really like this species of monitor and you're an expert. Can you tell me how you're keeping your monitors? So it's cool for me. I don't know if anyone else is even interested, but for me, I really like the fact that every week I can have a different guest on that keeps a different type of animal. Obviously, at some point, I'm going to go around in circles, but that keeps a different type of animal. And each week I'm asking possibly the same questions, but the answers are always different. So if I was interviewing 10 royal keepers, the questions would be, I don't know, what are you breeding this year? And the answer will be the same, I don't know, 10 morphs. It's going to be some combination of that. Whereas if I ask the same questions, but 1 week it's royals, 1 week it's monitors, 1 week it's spiders, then the answer is going to vary massively. And for me, it keeps it interesting as well. I don't want to listen to the same answer five times on the trot. I like the variation. And don't get me wrong, the guys and girls that are doing the podcast that are specific, like the Wolfie Roars podcast. I can't remember the other one I listened to. I feel really bad. What's his name? Vivid Skins Reptile. Vivid Skins podcast. Don't get me wrong, I listen to those every episode and I really enjoy them. And I think they're doing great, but I didn't want to just slip in and be another royal podcast. So I'm sort of branching out and doing a bit of everything. That's why. What's Paul saying? He's down for round two, but live. Yeah, Paul will do a round two definitely at some point. I'm not sure when yet, but it's been in the back of my mind for the last couple of weeks, so we will sort that out. I'd like to do a round two. That'd be really cool. Another comment from YouTube. What's your ultimate favorite snake? Right, so non-royals, if I could keep anything, there's two that I'd like to keep. So I really like file snakes. I don't know what their scientific name is. And I've only seen them once or twice, but they're really cool. They have really separated scales. I'm colorblind, so it's hard to describe the colors, but they're I would describe it as a graphite-y sort of blue color. They're really cool. But I don't know enough about them. I've never seen them for sale. But I really like those. And I really like hypogranite Burmese pythons. But I don't have the room for a berm. And to be honest, I don't think I'd be comfortable keeping a snake that's 18 or 15 plus, 15 foot plus and heavy. I'm quite happy with the little snakes. Like, I can be, I don't know, out for the weekend and say, ring my wife and say, oh, could you just open the whatever royal, check it for eggs, change the water, and I'd be well, I would be not concerned. Even if the snake was the biggest arsehole of a snake and bit her, I'm not concerned for her safety or the snake's safety. I know that we'll be fine, but I couldn't entrust anyone else with a snake that could potentially kill them. I wouldn't be able to do it. So it's not something that I would, at the moment, it's not something I'd even contemplate keeping. But if we're talking unrealistic, it is one of my favorite snakes. I'm a massive fan of them. Where do we get to? I think that's the same sort of question I did earlier. The next question I've got down here is, do you regret anything about your keeping over the years? I think that's the same question as I answered earlier, really. There's nothing I regret because, I learned from everything. But yeah, I think I've already covered that one. We've got quite a lot of questions going on today. So if you are in the YouTube chat and you are watching live, please do drop a comment because it's nice to have so much engagement today. Next question is from the YouTube. Well, it's not really a question, it's a statement. The largest snake I would keep is a boa or a carpet python. I've kept boas and I have kept carpet pythons as well. I think you're right. It's probably the largest I would keep at the moment is a carpet python, or probably not even a big female boa because they do get quite chunky still. My wife really likes Brazilian rainbow boas, so maybe in the future we'll add one of those, but I'm not quite sure. They are cool. Who are three dream guests on the podcast? I was going to answer this with like major celebs like David Attenborough, Steve Irwin. Like, I know he's not with us anymore, but that's like dream. But I thought I'd go for like a more realistic dream guest, like people that I could potentially have on the podcast maybe in 6 months or a year, depending on how it's going. I'd really like to have Sean Foggett on, who is the owner of Crocodiles of the World. I'm a massive Crocodiles of the World fan. I think I've visited there 4 times last year, maybe 5. And it's like a 2.5-hour drive each way for me. But I don't care. Like, I love going to Crocodiles of the World. It's my birthday trip. My birthday, I go to Crocodiles of the World. I remember when I was still living at home, and probably I think I was still at school as well, watching his series on Channel 4, Croc Man, where it went through the whole process of setting up Crocodiles of the World. And I feel like I've got some sort of connection because I obviously don't, but it holds a big place in my heart where I watched him struggle and make this awesome crocodile conservation zoo in the UK. I watched it on the telly, and now I can go and see it as an adult. I'm like, I can appreciate how much work's gone into it. I'd love to sit down and have a conversation with him about the day-to-day runnings and like all that sort of stuff. There's so much involved. And obviously, they're doing awesome breeding projects now as well. Like, they've bred Galapagos tortoises, and they've got the Thomistoma crocodiles as well. I think they're the only people in the UK that have ever bred them. So it's such a cool place. If you haven't been to Crocodiles World, I'd recommend it as well. It's well worth the trip. So that's dream guest number one. Dream guest number two. I haven't thought about this, but I haven't written this down either. I'm just freestyling now. Dream guest number two I'd like to have on is Steve Backshall. Let's face it, Steve Backshall's awesome. He's a good-looking lad as well, and he does some amazing, amazing stuff. I have watched every episode of Deadly 60 as a child and again as an adult, and I quite often sit down, maybe on my lunch at work or when I get home, go on iPlayer and chuck on old episodes of Deadly 60. I absolutely love it. I've been watching his series Expedition on, well, I don't know what I've been watching, what channel it's on, but yeah, I've been watching that. That was also really good. And not only like does he do animals, but he's seen so many cool parts of the world. And I'd love to sit down and just have a conversation about his life, really. Like, he's done so much cool stuff. Dream guest number three. It's a difficult one, but I'd like to get the opportunity to sit down with Brian Barczyk. Obviously, he isn't very well. I'm probably never going to get the opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with him. Not necessarily because the illness is not great, but he's on the other side of the world. I'm not really a big name. There's no reason for him to want to come on the podcast. Like, it's not going to help grow his channel. He doesn't need it. But I would love to sit down and just talk to the man that sort of inspired me not to keep reptiles, but to go like the next step and how to like to breed them. I think once you start breeding reptiles, there's no going back. Like, it's a whole new experience. Like the pairing them, the feeding, the watching them ovulate, the laying the eggs, the sitting in front of the incubator for days and weeks and months, seeing that little tiny nose pip, like getting the babies to have their first feed, all that sort of stuff. I don't think I'd ever have done it if I hadn't stumbled across snake bites. I'd love to sit down and just sort of rack his brains for however long he'd let me listen. So yeah, my three sort of dream guests. What's Paul saying? Another comment on YouTube saying, we fed the Komodo. Yeah, so that's awesome. So the Crocodiles of the World does all sorts of different experiences. I haven't done one yet, actually. So my daughter did the meerkat experience and my wife did the Galapagos tortoise experience for her birthday. I just go to Crocodiles of the World and watch everything. I haven't done an experience yet, mainly because I don't know what I want to do. Like, I'd love to feed the Nile Crocs. Like you said there, Paul, you fed the Komodo. I'd love to feed the Komodo. I'd quite like to do the Keeper for a Day experience. But like, that's they're not cheap. Like, some of the short experiences, like the Komodo, the meerkats, the Galapagos, they're not particularly expensive. But I think the one I want to do is the Keeper for the Day, and that, you know, I think, well, last time I looked, it was like £300-400 maybe. It's a lot of money. So maybe in the future it'll happen, but I'm just happy going and looking through the glass, to be honest. I think it's so cool. And now they've got they've got clouded leopards, and they've got a binturong as well. So I need to go and just to see the clouded leopard and the binturong, if nothing else. So that's really cool. Paul again says 60 days, try 200 days. Yeah, I know. It's not even 60 days. For the Royals, it's like 50 to 55 days, really. I don't know how you do 200 days, but I'm sure one day I'll experience it. Like, we'd quite like to maybe do chameleon breeding at some point in the like far distant future, and that again is like 6 months to a year. And the tortoises are a long time as well. But hey ho, it's all part of the fun, isn't it? Right, what we got? Next question. Where do I hope the podcast will go? I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. Like, I'm just enjoying doing it. I'd like it maybe to become a bit more self-sufficient, but I don't really know, unless I was to get loads of subscribers and stuff on YouTube and be able to monetize it. That's not really going to happen. I have got like the buy me a coffee thing, but that doesn't really do anything. But I'm not fussed about it financially. Like, it would be nice. Like, it's costing me like £35-40 a month. And if I didn't have to pay that, but could carry on doing it, it'd be even better. But at the same time, I don't care. I like doing it. I'm not fussed really about the money. In the short term, I want to have like a studio set up. I've got the plans in my head. I don't need to build anything. I can do it at home. I just need the money to buy some bits and bobs. Like, there's a background I want. There's like a neon sign. I just want something a bit, because at the moment I've got the chameleon here, the tortoise is there, but I'm actually sat in my living room, and every time I do a podcast, like, my wife will go hide in her bedroom, the kids will go and hide in their bedrooms for an hour, and I feel guilty almost taking the main room of the house. So if I could have that, like the backdrop and the lighting that I want, and I can have it set up not in the living room, then that would be really cool. As for episodes, I don't know. I've just, like I said, I've scheduled the next 10 episodes. That takes us to episode 20, which is near November. Ideally, I'd like to keep going at least for a year, but I don't have any plans of stopping at a year. I think the biggest struggle I'm going to have is finding guests to come on every other week. But I think as it goes, and it's doing really well now. It's growing. Like, I'm getting a nice, decent amount of listens and views and downloads and whatnot. As long as it keeps slowly growing, then I'm going to keep doing it. Like, even if I'm get like one extra view each episode, as long as someone's watching it, I plan to keep making it. Even if I'm getting like one view or five views, I'm happy, because not only do I enjoy seeing like the views, because let's face it, we all do it so we can get a little bit of gratification for people watching it, but I also really just enjoy the chats. Like, it's not very often I can go and, like, for example, the last episode, I wouldn't be able to just ring up Christian Davidson and say, "Hi, mate, do you want to chat for an hour?" Because they're busy people. But as it's a podcast, people seem to be a bit more open to that, which means I can sit down and chat with people that I wouldn't necessarily get the option to chat, like the opportunity to chat with. I think that's pretty cool. And I'm hoping, like, through doing this, I'll make some more friends. And if nothing else, like, it helps to, I don't know. I just like chatting to people, really. I'm quite a shy person in real life until you get to know me. So it's every episode, it takes me right out of my comfort zone when I start. But after the first sort of 5 minutes or so, I settle in and I'm really enjoying it. So, I'm not sure where the podcast is going to go. But at the moment, as long as it carries on the trajectory that it is, it will stay every other week. Not sure what I'm going to do about Christmas yet. Might do a Christmas special. I was thinking about that earlier. It's mental to think of Christmas this early on in the year, but who knows? What are two things I love about the podcast? So that I sort of just covered that, really. I really, really enjoy the chatting to people that I wouldn't necessarily get the opportunity to chat to. That's my first sort of thing I love about the podcast. And the second thing is I get to learn about animals. And let's face it, animals are the reason we're all here, regardless of if it's a snake, a lizard, a tarantula, a millipede, an isopod. We all love animals. So being able to chat about animals for an hour every other week with someone that I haven't spoken to before is awesome. And yeah, that's the main reasons I do the podcast. And that is the things I love about it, really. Next question. Crocs or no Crocs? In brackets, the shoes. Unfortunately, well, this question is from Paul Burrows. And he loves Crocs. And unfortunately, Paul, I'm going to have to disagree. I hate Crocs. I think they're awful. To be fair, I've never worn them, but come on, mate. They're not cool, are they? Stick me in a pair of Vans. I'm well happy, but I can't see myself in a pair of Crocs. I think I'm getting some backlash in the comments. Let's go and have a quick look. Paul said he's leaving because I don't like Crocs. So that's fair enough. It was nice chatting to you, mate. I might speak to you at the ARC show, but if you are wearing Crocs, I will probably avoid you. But thanks for the support, and I'll sort to you soon, mate. Anyway, back to the questions. Next question is five dream reptiles. So I'm going to do this as five dream reptiles that I could potentially keep. Not necessarily in the house I'm in at the moment, but they're not, like, really, really out there. First one on top of the list, dwarf caiman. Now, I know I'd need a dangerous wild animal license for it, and that's probably the main reason I'm never going to have one. But a dangerous wild animal license isn't realistic. It's not completely out of reach. If it was something I really wanted to do in the future, providing I could find the space, a dwarf caiman is probably number one on the top of the list. Animals that I could potentially own down the line, be it 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. So that's number one. Number two, Aki monitors. Like, again, not really, like, you see them in every pet shop. They're everywhere. But I really like them. My dreams aren't that big, to be fair. Like, there's lots of stuff that I like. And a lot of it is just down to having the space more than anything else. Number two, Aki monitors. Number three, giant tortoise. Now, this can be an Aldabra, a Solcata, or a Galapagos tortoise. I don't care. I want a massive tortoise. Like, we've got the two little ones. I really like them. And to be fair, they don't have to be that big. Like, a leopard tortoise or even a red-footed tortoise. Like, I just like tortoises. And it's weird because I never thought I would. When before my wife got our first tortoise, I was like, oh, don't get one of those. They're boring. It's like a pet rock. It just sit there all day. They do nothing. I tell you what, I was well wrong. I absolutely love our tortoises. They've got such character. They're absolutely brilliant. And let's face it, if you get a little thing and you really enjoy it, what do you want? You want the same but more of it. And you can't get bigger than a Galapagos tortoise. So that's probably a bit more unrealistic. But again, it's a space thing. Oh, and a money thing. But if, say, I won the lottery, there would be a Galapagos tortoise or a Salcutta or an Adabra. Probably more than one, actually. That's the third one. Fourth, albino. No, not an albino, anything. Hypogranite Burmese python. Again, I don't have the space. I don't have the time. I wouldn't keep it here, realistically. But it falls under the same bracket as the dwarf caiman. They're really cool. I'd really like one. If money, time, space, all that, like safety were no issues, there would be a berm here. And the final reptile, my five dream reptiles. It's not a reptile, it's an amphibian. I really, really like dart frogs. Again, not a big dream, like they're really accessible. I'd love a dart frog. It's finding the space in the house for a viv that is a decent size that I can do what I want to do with it. I just don't have the space at the moment. But there's plenty of years to come. And I keep buying lottery tickets, so you never know. You might one day see me opening a zoo. Well, to be fair, you won't see me open it, because if I win the lottery, I'm opening a zoo for myself and no one else can come. So yeah, that's my five more realistic dream reptiles, I guess. There isn't really anything unrealistic that I'd like to own. Let's face it, a Komodo would be sick. But I'm not going to keep a Komodo dragon. That's just ridiculous. Right, I've got a couple more questions and we're nearly there. So if you are in the comments and you want to ask a question, you've probably got 5 minutes and then we're going to start wrapping it up. So next question. One thing you would change about the hobby. There's not a lot I'd change about the hobby. Right? I know we've all got our sort of ups and downs and the likes and dislikes in the hobby. There is one thing that really bugs me about the hobby, though, and it's like, I don't know how to put it, but it's like the segregation between the keepers. And I get it, like, royal keepers talk to royal keepers, monitor keepers talk to monitor keepers, hognose breeders chat with hognose breeders. But I wish we were all a bit more inclusive. And I know that most people, like, if you're just keeping royals and you're breeding royals, you want to talk to other people that are breeding royals. And I get that it can't just be like everybody love each other and talk to each other all the time. But I would love to be able to go and have a chat, like go to a reptile show and pick anyone and go and have a chat about like 10 different species, not just go, oh, they breed royals, we'll chat about royals, or they breed corn snakes, we'll chat about corn snakes. Don't get me wrong, it's good to have a specialist subject, so to speak, but I think it would be beneficial for everyone if we all had a little bit of everything. I'm not saying go out and buy 40 different species of reptile, but I'm saying maybe like dip your fingers in the education side of something that you don't necessarily keep, or like listen to my podcast because we talk about all sorts of stuff on here. I'd like the hobby to be more inclusive to all of the animals, I guess, as opposed to just the ones that people are interested in. But then that's how life works, so there's not really anything you can do to change that. But yeah, that's the thing I would change about the hobby, I guess. And last question I've got for here, unless any pop up in the comments in a minute or so, are what is going on with the Exotic Keeper magazine giveaway? Right, so if you have listened to the podcast before, you will know, in fact, I can put it on screen, you will know that I have been partnering, I guess, or I'm not really sure what the term is, but Exotic Keeper magazine have very kindly given me a code that I can give away every episode to a commenter, which enables them to get a 12-month digital subscription to the EK Magazine Members Club. Basically, this is an archive where they put all of their magazines online so you can read them, access them, whatever. It was going really well to start with. All you had to do was go on and drop a comment like with a fact about an animal, and then I'd pick a random winner each episode. Unfortunately, it seems to have dropped off and nobody seems to be entering it. So I haven't really had anything to give away because nobody is doing it. It's not I haven't completely stopped doing it. So if you do want to enter, or you just want, just let me know and I'll see what I can do. But yeah, it's, I'm not really sure what I'm going to do with that yet. So we'll see how it goes. So yeah, that's the end of the questions. So I guess it's time to start wrapping up the podcast. So a few little bits on my script and then we are done. So first of all, thank you so much for all the support that you've been giving me for the last, this is episode 11. So the last however many episodes, 11 episodes. It's growing nicely. I'm really, really happy with how it's going and all you guys are awesome. If you wanted to support the podcast a little bit more, you can like, comment, subscribe. If you're listening, you can review it. You can follow it on all the audio platforms. All of that stuff really helps. If you want to keep track of what's going on in the world of me or the podcast, you can follow us both or follow me on both accounts, which is at Ben's Balls and I'm at RepticChat. If you've got any guest suggestions for the future or you want to be a guest on the podcast, drop me a DM or drop a comment on YouTube or something. Get in touch one way or another and we can sort that out because I need those guests. So yeah, that would be really great. The next episode will be a pre-recorded episode because I, like I said, I will be at the ARC Amphibian and Reptile Convention. So it won't be a live episode, but nonetheless, it will still be a good one. So make sure you tune in for that. Hopefully I'll secure some guests as well whilst I'm there. If you do see me, I'll probably be wearing a Tough Mudder t-shirt. So please do not hesitate. Come and say hello. It'll be nice to meet some people, which is always cool. So yeah, last thing before we disappear, if you want to support the podcast a little bit more than just a like, a subscribe or a follow, please go and find the link below in the description to a website called Buy Me a Coffee, where you can donate the cost of a coffee, towards the upkeep of the podcast. And like I said earlier, every little bit helps because it isn't free running this and, you know, times are hard. So yeah, that is it. So hopefully you've enjoyed this solo episode. I am a lot more confident now than I was when I started, and I think it went pretty well. And thanks to all you guys that were in the comments, dropping comments and interacting. So yeah, it was really good. If you are listening back on anything, please also drop a comment and let me know. Just give me a bit of feedback about the episode because I'm not 100% sure how well it will be received, but hopefully it went all right. But I think for now, that is it. That's going to be the end of the podcast. So thank you very much. And until next time, goodbye.